What's up, everyone? This is Zach with Mos Eisley Radio, and I am interrupting my wonderful game of the Old Republic to tell you you're listening to Tor Syndicate.
You are listening to a Star Wars The Old Republic community podcast. This is the Tor Syndicate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 43 of the Tor Syndicate Community Podcast, being recorded December 27th, 2011, which means all you Tor addicts listening out there, you've been playing the game for as much as 2 weeks now, which also means probably the more hardcore among you have probably already hit level 50 or are close to it. I, on the other hand, with a more leisurely approach, am just this side of half that amount. So for those of you new to the show who don't yet know who I am or even who we are, let me back up a moment and start with introductions. I'm Barislana, the Mantel Syndicate, role-playing home to the galaxy's best scoundrel, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders, and also making up the Tor Syndicate, the man who's been a level 50 podcaster for much longer than I, the progenitor of the Tor Syndicate and leader of Guild Umbra, Lord Hammer.
Hey guys, what's going on? It is really awesome to be here, especially as our first podcast in a post-launch world, and I mean a post-launch real launch, not just the early access. I'm also glad to hear that you are feeling a lot better. How are you recovering from your sickness?
I am doing much better. I had just the generic winter crud or something going on last time you guys had the show running, but with the help of Vertec in the studio, I'm sure you guys just did just fine. Speaking of Vertec, he is one of our other members here in our virtual studios, also from Guild Umbra. Nepotism. We have our very own show producer and casting director, Vertec. Vertec, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, doing fantastic. Had myself a nice little Christmas. Ate some food. Lots of food, as always.
It's interesting to hear you say you ate a lot of food, because this guy works out like 15 times a day. He's got 0.01% body fat.
Yeah, be careful. Don't flex there, Vertec. You might knock your mic over or something.
Hey, so. I'm telling you, that's why I go to the gym so much, so I can afford to eat like I do. I love some food.
We were hanging out at New York Comic Con, yes, because we are real nerds. And dude had like his own little like protein bars everywhere he was going. He's like, oh, I got to make sure I get some calories. I'm going, dude, I got to make sure I can lose some calories.
Yeah, too bad we can't just trade them. You know, I'll give you
I'm
some
like,
of
I've
mine
got an extra.
Yours. That's right.
There you go. We'll make a trade. Make a trade.
But in his new role as producer, he's also cast director and, I guess, talent manager.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, I knew Vertec was good, and we give him a hard time as he's coming on the show, but I've grown to begrudgingly respect him. But I have to say, I laughed a bit when I read you had booked Satele Shan as our guest on the show, because one, well, she's a fictional character, and two, but really there's no need for two, because no one's that good at getting us amazing guests on the show, right?
What can I say? The pixels love me.
The pixel. So without further ado, we've got Snowy Black on the show. Welcome.
Oh, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So tell us briefly who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Oh, okay. Well, who am I? I'm Snowy Black, as you'd, introduce me as. I portray the character Satele Shan, and I grew up in Florida and Georgia, really small towns, actually. One of the cities I lived in Florida was called Niceville, just to give you an idea. And I, I know, huh? There literally was like a one main road, and it was just one lane, and that went two different ways. So you had basically a two lane, kind of a freeway, I guess, or what you would call it. It was sort of a freeway in our town. So
was that down the road from Meanville, or what?
Well, actually, you want to know something? Every year, like I think it was a senior prank or something, some high school kids, and not that I know that they were the high school kids that did this, but every year somebody would go, and there was a little marquee like thing, you know, welcome to the city of Niceville. And in city of Niceville was spelled out in like green shrubs, and they were lit up every night with like lights that go around them, like kind of like Christmas, the white Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. And every single year they would unplug the first part of it, which was city of Nice, and it would just say, they would unplug the first couple letters of Niceville, and it would say City of Evil.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a fun little town. And
you never had anything to do with that, though, right?
Not at all. No, I don't even know who did that. I just recall seeing it once or twice, so when I lived there. But yeah, so that's where I lived for a little bit, in elementary school and middle school, and then I moved up to Atlanta, and then I came out to LA to pursue a career in acting, and sure enough, I got to do some fun projects and work on some independent films, and most recently I did one with Michael Madsen and Daryl Hannah, and so it was a great experience. And then, of course, the most exciting and awesome experience for me was doing the Star Wars video game last year, or actually getting to work with some of the people that do the animation for my character. So it was fun.
Now, how did you get that job? I mean, how did that come to you, or you went to it, or how did you find out about it?
It came to me. I didn't even know. That's the funny thing. It really just like out of nowhere. It was a great experience. They actually, one of my agencies, I didn't know, they submitted me for the job, and they chose me based off of my modeling portfolio. So I just had a direct booking. I didn't go in for an audition, which is the usual routine, but in this particular instance, it wasn't the case. And I showed up, and they didn't tell me what specific game it was for. They told me it was a video game, and that, you know, they'd be doing a 3D head scan, but I didn't even know until I showed up the day of to do the shoot what the game was. So it was quite a surprise for me.
So what was that process like? I mean, as far as, was it very simple and straightforward? You just kind of went and sat in a chair and it took care of it, or did they have to put those little dots all over your face like they do in motion capture and stuff like that? Or
yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was pretty straightforward, but it was quite a process because, well, I had never really, you know, experienced anything like that of the sort, but they had me come in with just, you know, no makeup on, my hair pulled back, and I was thinking in my mind, what is going on? You know, I'm coming in there with sweats. I literally wore like sweatpants to do the shoot, and they had me sit down in a chair, and they had a technician there who, you know, did the graphing, the computer, the 3D graphing, and it would show up. It would like scan my face and all the like different points of my face and everything, and they would have me do different facial expressions. Like, they would tell me to be really happy or pretend that you're really sad or really angry, and so that's kind of how that turned out. And they sent those images over to Blur Studios, and the CG animators got to do the fun part of creating the look of Satele based on my 3D head scan. And, of course, they had some pictures of me, too. So they were using a little bit of both to get her look.
So that's like Grand Theater style, be really happy, like pretend you're on a stage 100 yards away from somebody, right?
No, exactly. It really was. And it wasn't because I would do like, you know, a subtle, I mean, I don't know. I did a lot of acting classes and method acting and, you know, these days in TV and film, sometimes they say the more subtle, the better. But in this particular instance, that wasn't the case at all. I mean, they wanted some over the top acting, and it was fun. It really was.
How long of a process was that, though? That's what I'm curious about. Was that just like a part of a day, or did they have you out there for a couple of days and they, you know, did one thing and then came back and said, you know, tomorrow we're going to do this?
You know what? They were very efficient. It only took them part of the day, and that was it. And I did not see the final image until this year, and we actually, well, you know, closer to the beginning of this year, and we had done the shoot like a little over a year ago. So I don't know if that's how long it took them. Obviously it didn't because they had the trailer out, but I really just didn't even see the image until everyone else got to see it. So I was quite, you know, surprised.
So as soon as you...
Go ahead.
I'm good. I was just going to say, as soon as you said that, you know, it came to you, I'm just picturing in my head, you know, looking for actress must be able to fight with lightsaber, you know, the whole nine yards.
I did do martial arts when I was younger, so maybe that experience helped. I did like a Okinawa style martial arts, and I think I made it to like yellow belt, so I don't know, but yeah, I know, right? I guess my resume was, I guess, up to par. I don't know what exactly they were looking for when they casted me, and I know it was a great opportunity for sure, and I guess just maybe the Eurasian thing, maybe because I'm half Korean, and I have to give credit to my mom for that one, so that kind of worked out for me. Yeah, it was really cool.
So just to make sure, to dummy proof this, you were you only there in terms of being the model that they put on, I guess, another actress that actually went through and did the rest of the scenes?
No, they actually had me do like this. I didn't do the voice though. Jennifer Hill does my character, as you guys know, and you hear her really deep womanly voice, and she does a lot of the games for BioWare and EA games. But I didn't do the voice, which is interesting actually, to see my face and then hear this like womanly voice come. It was a little, I was like, wait a second, like, you know, in the opening, in the cinematic trailer, in the opening, and you hear Jennifer Hale's voice, and she's introducing, you know, she's like talking about where she is and everything, and you're just like, oh, this is interesting. You know? So not that I couldn't do it though, I definitely could for sure.
It's got to have an interesting feel to it. It's kind of like a face-off thing. Like, look, there's me, but not me.
Yeah, well, everybody thinks your voice sounds different when it's recorded, but this was, like, to the extreme.
You're like, oh, I really sound like that? That's me-ish.
So no, you didn't exactly get to see it for almost a year then after they released it. I find that interesting that they didn't even give you a sneak peek any time before that. So.
Well, you know what?
What the was there anything that surprised you about how they rendered you or...
You know, I would say, well, she was really skinny, my character. So I'm like, that was
That's the advantage of being a video game. You could be any size
you
wanted. Yeah,
I'm like, wow, I lost some weight there. So, you know, that's always good. That's a good thing in this town. My mom actually really enjoyed it. She really loved it. She thought the character was so cute, and they did a great job. And a lot of my family members said it looked really much like me, except it was really cute how they did her hairstyle and just the little details, because I didn't know how they were going to do her hair or what she was going to wear and, you know, just cute little things like that that they added and they created up in their minds, or I don't know where they got the inspiration from, but it was really cool to see the final. So I was kind of sad that I didn't get to see it beforehand, but you know, it was definitely a surprise for me too.
Yeah, nice little treat there. So the one question I have as well is, so on Ask a Jedi, we had seen a little bit of an interview there, and one of the concerns people had, and I've heard it echoed, is that, well, she looks really, really young. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be immersion breaking right there. She's supposed to be a Grandmaster Jedi. So it looks like they did a little bit of artificial aging with the character as well. What's it feel looking like? It what might be the future you?
You know, if you see like in the game and in game and on the trailer, like she's roughly, I mean, what would you say? How do you think she looks in game, like at the current age that she is?
Well, in all the videos, they did a little bit. It looks like she has a little bit of an age progression in there as well, not drastic, mm-hmm. but just a little bit.
But. Yeah. Well, luckily I'll be aging too. So, I mean, maybe not to that point, you know, not to that extreme, but I think that, you know, I think it'll be fine just because I think the audiences can appreciate, you know, the younger version of Satele just as much as they can appreciate the older version of her that you see when she's, like you said, the Grandmaster Jedi. So I think it'll be fine.
You have a very distinguished feel.
I know. Maybe I need to start putting gray highlights in my hair and start wearing long cloaks and stuff. That might give me that real, like, you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure it'll come in time on its own.
It will. There you go, right?
Wow.
It's okay. It's the fact of life. It's the way it's got to be, I guess. Well, I don't know about the gray hair part, but, you know, eventually.
Well, you can always cheat on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what's interesting, though, when I saw her image, like, towards the end, like, the progression of Satele, her face, to me, personally, I think her face still looks pretty young, but her hair was kind of... indicating that she was a little bit older, or that she was older with the gray in it and the shorter haircut. So that's the only thing really that I noticed. I mean, I guess her features were a little bit older, but I didn't think too much.
Yeah, just kind of how they made her face react ended up, like I said, it gave a feeling of experience and, like I said, dignity and whatnot behind it.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have any plans that you can tell us about, like, for anything future operations with Blur, BioWare, any kind of Star Wars activity?
Well, I'm hoping to make some fun appearances throughout the year. Not quite allowed to say yet, but okay. Most recently I did do an appearance in LA at GameStop on the day of the release. It was just there for a few hours to do some, you know, autographing the game, as well as some people had actually purchased the collector's item, the figurine set. I don't know if you've guys seen that.
And, yes, Hammer has two.
Yeah.
He bought them in stereo.
We've seen it at close range.
Exactly. So that was cool. I did that, but I will definitely keep you guys posted. I just am not at liberty to say at the moment.
Is there anything else that you that you're doing now or have in the works where any fans can see your work that's maybe not even Star Wars related? Other stuff that you've got,
being
an actress and other opportunities you might have that you can talk about? Or
yeah, absolutely. Well, I have three movies in post-production right now. The one I was telling you guys earlier about with Michael Madsen and Daryl Hannah, that one's supposed to be really funny. It's called Garbage, and it's expected to be released next year, as well as the other one, Random Encounters. So I will definitely keep updating on my Twitter and Facebook and letting you guys know, you know, the progress on that. So they keep pushing the dates back on me, which is always fun because they're like, okay, it's going to be released this year. And then it ends up being pushed back to next year. So
yeah, BioWare did the same thing with their game too. So
it's
pretty standard in the industry.
Well, didn't they? But the thing was funny was that I thought they pushed the early access. Like, they made it even earlier, though. I thought that's what happened.
No, they did, by 2 days.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. That's kind of nice. Earlier access.
Exactly. So if people want to follow your career and what you're doing and what's going on, where would be kind of the best place for them to get that information?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I am definitely at Twitter. You guys can hit me up. It's at Snowy Black. And I'm also on Facebook, Official Snowy Black. And yeah, you guys go to my page and definitely friend me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter.
And is your is snowyblack.com keep up with all that stuff too?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I have my blog on there too, which thank you for reminding me. I need to update that too. So I will have to get on that. I've been too busy with all the holiday stuff that I need to get on that.
I can understand. I do websites for a living, and keeping them up to date can be quite a chore, especially when you got stuff going on.
Yeah, no, really, it really is. So it's fun, though. It's a fun chore, actually. I really do enjoy it because it's great to see some feedback from fans and the interaction and things like that. And I have been getting a lot of requests for people like that don't live in the country. I've had one fan in Germany email my post and asked him if I could sign his video game and if he could like ship it to us or something like that. And so, you know, things like that. It's really cool.
You gotta also watch out for the creepy fans too.
Oh.
There's a reason why we're in character using our fake names or in-game names.
Uh-oh. What are you...
And we're not good-looking. You know.
Oh.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Hey.
Okay. And I'm not even good-looking. You know?
There you go.
Oh, God.
More comfortable with that statement, sir. No, we love you, sir.
On the I'm pretty on the inside, okay?
You're on the...
God looked at me and he said, you have to have good interpersonal skills, son.
Oh, like, you have a great personality.
Yeah, it's like I'm like that guy, like, you know, when like you're getting hooked up with like a blind date, they're like, oh, he's really nice.
Oh, well, that's nothing. There's nothing with that.
But luckily, luckily I'm married, so I'm good to go.
Well, there you go. No more blind dates. Those are interesting.
Hammer digs his awkward hole any deeper here. Vertek, do you have any other questions for Snow?
No, I think mine are all covered.
All right.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you so much for taking time out to, you know, to chat with us. We definitely hope that we can have you back on the show, even if, you know, you just want to come and talk about whatever it is you're doing, if it's you know, Star Wars or not Star Wars related. You know, we definitely appreciate the work that you've done, and you know, I guess lending your face, your persona to the Satele Shan character for Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, thank you. You guys are so sweet. I really appreciate it for having me on the show. I mean, it's great, and you guys are hilarious. So it was fun getting to talk to you guys, and thank you so much for taking your time out to interview me. It was great.
Yeah, we'll just save some ink in that pen if we see you at a show, because I'm probably going to end up bringing my box.
I'll bring my extras. How about that?
There you go.
He can come up and offer you like a power bar or something. Cause, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
I love me some power bars. Good. Perfect.
Nice. All right. Thanks.
All right, cool. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a wonderful night and enjoy the rest of your holiday.
All right.
You as well. Fun traveling.
Thank you. I will.
This podcast has been brought to you by Guild Launch at guildlaunch.com. Guild Launch is the premier guild host management system. They have over 2 million registered users. They support over 180 different games and have over 100,000 different guilds, clans, and corporations. For all of your guild hosting management needs, to include PvP management, raiding, DKP systems, chat, and everything, please check out guildlaunch.com.
The Exploits of Mandalorian Girl, written and narrated by Nasha Tali. Chapter 2, Kashyyyk, Part 9. Vel rushed forward, yelling as he swung his blade at me. Metal hit metal as our vibroblades collided. He came at me again with speed and ferocity, growling as I blocked his blade and forcefully pushed him backward. He tripped as I pushed him, falling to the ground. I came at him, blade raised high to strike. He thrust out both legs, catching me in the stomach and sending me to the ground. I quickly regained my footing and crouched, ready for retaliation. It didn't seem like he was fighting with all he had. Why was he playing with me? It just wasn't like him. He looked at me, and for a moment, I could have sworn I saw regret in his eyes. Vel ran at me, swinging wildly. He was so swift that he seemed to be everywhere at once. It took all of my strength just to stay in the fight. Just as I was beginning to wonder how long I was going to hold out, I saw an opening, and what felt like slow motion to me, I saw myself thrust my blade in his direction and slice into his upper left arm. Oh! Vel's eyes widened slightly, as if shocked that I had gotten in a hit. He stumbled backward slightly, giving me room to push into him, sending his blade flying to the side as his body fell to the ground. I wasted no time pinning him down with my body, my vibro blade grazing the skin of his neck. It's over, Vel. You've lost. Your life is mine. I eased myself up as Aiden came behind Vel. He lifted him onto his feet. He took a step back, hand on his lightsaber. Vel eyed Aiden's movements. He wisely chose to remain still. I could kill you right where you stand and be justified, I whispered, looking at the man I had once called friend. I still may kill you, but first I want to know why. Why did you throw away our friendship? I gave you a job and called you brother. Just tell me why you left me to die. I wanted to do so many things at once, yell, scream, cry. I was so hurt by this man I had come to care about. Vel closed his eyes for a moment. He opened them as he spoke. I never wanted it to end this way, Nasha. I love you. He reached out to touch me. Suddenly a shot rang out from somewhere in the distance. fell slumped to the forest floor. Aiden looked off in the direction of the blaster shot. I hurriedly knelt down beside my fallen brother. Vel, look at me! Vel, please! He opened his eyes and reached out to touch my face, wincing in pain. Nasha, it was Cinca. I never wanted to hurt you. Forgive me. I nodded, too stunned to form the right words. Vel's arm fell and his body slumped. He was gone. Aiden came trotting back into the clearing. I stood looking at him tearfully. It was Cinca, Aiden. Cinca did this. He nodded. I found the Zerka employee up the trail. He's dead and she's gone. Aiden reached to wrap me in his arms, but I shook my head. Now's not the time to grieve. We need to get back to the surface. I turned at the sound of the Wookiee shortcut walking up behind me. He tilted his head at me, watched me for a second, and then quietly bent down and scooped up the fallen warrior. Aiden led the way back up the trail in silence. We rejoined our guide, who waited just where we had left him, and started the trek back to the lift. My thoughts were running wild. I kept replaying Belle's words in my head. Not my sweet Cinca. How could she do this? Why would she do this? I had raised her. Why had Belle followed her? How could I have not seen this coming? So many unanswered questions. I knew that Cinca would have reached the other Zerka employee by now, and they would be heading back to the lift. I had to stop her. I had to keep her from hurting someone else. We walked hurriedly, Laquette in the lead, followed by Shorecook and myself. Aiden brought up the rear. I lost track of time as we quietly trekked through the forest. Vel was dead. I kept thinking about his last moments. I knew I should block it out until we had the situation under control, but it was hard to stay focused. Time passed and we reached the lift site. As I guessed, Cinca, HK, and her guide had already gone up. We waited until the lift came back for us. It was a long, silent wait. If the wait was long, the ride was longer. I was anxious to get to the surface and hunt her down. Funny how I always seemed to be hunting something. I couldn't bring myself to look in the direction of Vel's body. Aiden touched my arm as we finally reached the surface. I snapped out of my daze and stepped onto the platform. It was morning. The city was just beginning to stir. Laquette rushed us toward his father's home, which was just a short distance away from the lift site. Salova was there, opening the door and motioning us inside. Shortcut placed Vel's body on a nearby cot and walked over to where I stood. Aiden and Laquette were informing Salova of the past night's events. I owe you a great debt, Mandalorian. Shortcut's voice was deep and melodious. He spoke slowly, making it easier for me to translate his words. If you will have me, I wish to pledge myself to your service. I glanced at Aiden, who had stopped speaking at the Wookiee's words. A life debt? You owe me nothing, my friend. You're free. The big Wookiee shook his head. My life is yours. He held out his hand to me. I took it, sealing the vow. I knew that a Wookiee never made a life debt lightly, and who was I to turn away an ally? I could use all the help I could get. Leaving Vel's body with Salova, Aiden, Shorecook, and I hurriedly walked through the city streets, heading toward the nearest landing platforms. I knew that Cinca probably had my ship nearby for a quick getaway. We searched through several areas, and just as I was about to give up, I saw it. I picked up speed, now running, Aiden behind me toward my ship. Cinca was walking up the platform. She turned, catching sight of me out of the corner of her eye. She darted into the ship. As I reached the area, the ship lifted off and was gone. A nearby explosion startled me. We turned in the direction of the sound. It was coming from another set of landing platforms. My eyes widened. Our ship! Smoke filled the air off to the right. We quickly made our way through the crowds to see for ourselves what had occurred. Sure enough, when we reached the place where we had left Aiden's ship, there was nothing left but smoldering wreckage. Cinca had made certain that we would not follow her. I turned to look at my Jedi companion. He stood looking at the debris, calmly shaking his head. I just had her washed. I made a disgusted face at him. How can you joke at a time like this? He shrugged. Could have been worse. I tilted my head at him. How? He smiled slightly. We could have been on it. Now what? I asked, frustrated at all that had happened. Aiden shrugged. We'll find her and we'll stop her. I looked at him like he'd lost his mind. How? With what? In case you haven't noticed, your ship is blown up. Aiden shook his head and put his arm around my shoulder. Be patient. Trust in the Force. I snorted. What? Is your Force going to fly us to where Cinca is? Because if not, I don't see how we're going to get there. Aiden's laughter echoed in the morning air, and he and my new Wookiee companion slowly led me back toward the crowded streets. Have faith, my love. Just have a little faith. For more information, visit my website at www.mandaloriangirl.com.
Transmission frequency secure. Beyond the Grind, episode 22, episode 23, beginning in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 22 of Beyond the Grind, your podcasting resource for role-playing in the Old Republic, recorded on Friday, December 30th, 2011. I am your host, Barislan of the Mantell Syndicate, the Old Republic's role-playing home of the galaxy's best scoundrel, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders. And tonight, I have no pithy and snarky introduction for my awesome co-host. Joining me once again from Gamebreaker TV, The Republic, and Massively.com's Hyperspace Beacon, it's Larry Shadow Everett, everyone. Give him a nice Beyond the Grind welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may all be seated.
Wow. That pre-recorded audience greeting is good stuff, huh?
I know.
Boost the ego there.
It does.
Yep. I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get, yeah. You know. That's what role-playing's about, right? It's all imagination. So
that's right.
Imagine that there's a crowd.
And we all have no self-esteem, so we need whatever kind of we can get.
Exactly. Virtual applause, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So here we are, our first post-launch game show. There is it's not a game show. It's a post-launch game show about the
post-game launch show.
Post-game. Anyhow, so we got no more speculation. It's all out there. It's all revealed. So this is.
And guess what?
What?
Snape kills Dumbledore. Spoilers.
Oh, man. That was just rude. You know how many listeners we just lost?
You're Revan.
Oh, spoiler two. Man, you're going to get some sort of achievement for there. That now. Like spoiler king. All right, so don't listen to Larry if you don't want things spoiled that everyone already knows about.
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Achievement unlocked. Spoiler king.
Oh, that's impossible.
No! No!
Anyhow, speaking of things that impossible, some of you may have noticed that we didn't have a show 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to every 2 weeks, and the truth is, it's kind of a sore subject because I actually recorded a show with Shadow 2 weeks ago at 3 a.m. because it was really late because the game had just launched. And oddly enough, we both wanted to just play the game. And so we stopped, we put it aside, you know, because it was important to honor the needs of our listeners as well. And so we recorded the show and wrapped it up. It was a pretty good show. And then, to my horror, I discovered that the show hadn't actually recorded. I usually do like a 3-point check before we do every show to make sure it's recording.
And you missed point three.
Because it was 3 freaking a.m., I did not do that, and sure enough, no show.
I don't believe what I'm hearing.
So that's where the mystery show went. So technically, this would be episode 23, but no, it's episode 22.
Now we'll just name this one episode 23, and everybody that goes back to the archives can wonder, whatever happened to episode 22?
Oh, we could do that. We can mess with people. Messing with people's fun.
It totally is.
I really love writing stories for my.
That's what role play's all about.
Yes.
Messing with people.
Yes. We call them plot twists, though. That's the technically correct term.
Sorry.
Right. Don't spoil them.
Those not in the know, those are called plot twists.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
So, moving along in episode now 23 of
episode
Beyond
23.
The Grind. That's right. So, we don't have our standard game speculation or Friday updates or anything like that anymore. And I'm sure everybody at BioWare is like, dance the jig 5 times over. They don't have to do Friday updates anymore. I know they have to crank those out every week. Not to mention, no matter what they put out, somebody would be throwing a fit about how stupid or dumb or useless they were.
I'm telling you, walls and maps are really cool.
Yeah.
Walls and maps.
So, let me ask you this then, because this kind of rolls into our next question on the show, which I had, is from a role play standpoint, you've had at least 2+ weeks now, 2 or 3 weeks to be in-game,
yep.
Because you were in on the early access, if I'm correct.
Yes.
So, from a role player standpoint, for you, what has been the best thing you've encountered so far in the game as a role player, and what has been the worst?
The best things first off, the environments are absolutely incredible, just mind blowing. I mean, in all sorts of ways, and you know, a lot of MMOs in general will, you know, copy and paste a lot of stuff from one zone to the next zone, and just, oh no, this is a different thing because this box is over here and it wasn't over there in the last one.
Kind of like the sets on the early Star Trek
shows. Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, exactly. And not to say there isn't copy and paste in Tor, because there obviously is.
Yeah, you reuse.
Yeah, but
assets.
They did an incredible job at making sure that you don't feel immediately, oh, this is, I've seen this. This is there. You know, this other. You know, I went to this cave before because it was on Korriban. You know, you don't immediately get that sense. And in fact, especially in like role play hubs, I guess what you could call them. Like one cantina, like the cantinas on Tatooine look totally different than the cantinas on Nar Shaddaa or on, on Coruscant or anything, which is incredible thing to think about. I mean, especially when you, I'm coming from Star Wars Galaxies myself. Every single cantina looked exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so there was, it's really nice to get a different feel just traveling from one cantina to the next, and they've really done a good job at making the environments great.
Just for the sake of balancing it out, one thing, if you had one thing that you're disappointed not to see in the launch of the game, or the thing that you feel like could help role players the most but is not there now, what would you say that would be at this point?
Number one, having attended a couple of events on Lord Address, having attended a couple events with those, with like 50 or so, actually, you know, more than 15 people, and without chat bubbles, has been insane. In fact,
I had the same thing. It just becomes a wall of text in your chat box.
Oh. Man, we need chat bubbles.
And when people have, you know, unusual alien kind of names or something, it's really hard to follow that sometimes.
What's really funny is some, and I'm sure you've ran into this, where there's some people that speak like they add an accent to the way their character talks.
Like, what you dope.
Right, they phonetically write it in the way the character would say it.
Exactly. That makes it even more difficult because
I've been accused of that, but actually I'm just a bad typist.
I can't understand all of it, but I reckon I understand a good deal of it.
But, oh my gosh, that becomes, I mean, nothing against the role players because they're doing a phenomenal job doing that, but with that wall of text, on top of writing in some sort of phonetic, odd spelling or broken English really makes it just that much harder to read because of the wall of text that's already going on.
You are not talk that way.
And along that same lines, I would like to buy some sort of cross faction emoting, because any kind of any kind of like custom emotes do are not cross-faction.
I have not tested that because I've been really focused on getting my guild set up and other stuff on one side of the line. But really, so like if you type in /emote and put in your own thing, the other side does not see them.
That's correct.
Oh, come on. That's how different is that than say? It's like about the same range.
It is. So it's totally the same. I don't know why. I really don't.
Okay, I didn't know about that till just now, but now that's my worst thing.
Oh, I couldn't believe it because I was because I'm I've rolled Imperial for now. I will roll my Smuggler.
I tell you what, a lot of the role play that I do, and the other folks in my guild and other people we've met do, take place in emotes. Because people combine an action with something they say. You know, Shadow walks up and slaps the dancer in the face and says, "You dirty Slimo, you owe me 50 credits." You know, or, but they combine it all into the emote.
Right.
So...
And it was really quite hilarious because I was I was next to a smuggler. I'm an Imperial character. I'll go with that's all the further I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna tell you who I am, but I'm an Imperial character, and I'm standing like next to a smuggler and a Jedi, and the Jedi's talking to me, but I can't hear it like. Because like,
they're using emotes?
Because they're using emotes.
And they didn't know that it didn't
they
carry.
Had no idea. They had no idea that you couldn't use emotes. And so I'm thinking, I said something to the Jedi, and I'm thinking that the Jedi is just ignoring me.
Mm-hmm.
But the smuggler responded to it, and I'm like, oh, crud.
That's when it hit you.
Yeah, that's when it hit me. He's using emotes.
Great.
And I cannot see him.
So you're saying that the built-in... emotes, like you can trigger off the chat box or something, those get broadcast, but
yes.
The homemade ones do not.
That's correct.
Well, that brings us to the end of our light episode. If you want to hear more topics and or get outtakes from the show, please subscribe to us on iTunes or come download the full director's cut at barislon.podbean.com. Thanks again to Shadow for his commentary. Anything to add as we wrap up here, Shadow?
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Classic. All right, well... outside of cookies, we hope that you guys get a bit of something new to add to your game that'll help you out in the real public as you seek to make your adventures there your own personal brand epic. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Termination protocol established. Beyond the Grind signal dark in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so another Beyond the Grind. We kind of missed a week there, but that's cool. We've catching everything back in lockstep, and what a great way to start post-tour tour syndicate world, if you will, having an awesome guest like that. So thanks again to producer Vertek.
Yes,
my pleasure. It was a great guest.
So the game is out. I have to apologize to everybody because the Tour Syndicate with the last episode, 42, was basically a week late because I was just playing a game and I just didn't want to not play the game. I just don't have anything else better to defend my actions, but I can't think that anybody could blame me. So what are you guys doing? What have you been doing? Because the game came out a week before the 20th for those of us who were in early. It came out officially on the 20th, which is right there, right before Christmas. And then everyone's got to deal with the insanity of Christmas. And today is December the 27th. So we're still technically in the middle of the holiday craziness because this weekend coming is going to be New Year's. So for the large majority of, you know, most people that have the ability, they're really kind of off for a week or 2 weeks to just crush this game. I mean, what have you guys been doing?
That's the thing. Like I said, kind of in the intro, I love that I got in, you know, 7 days early. I got in right up front on the early access because I was one of those day one registration guys on the game. But because it's right here in the holidays, I mean, it's awesome if you are someone who doesn't have a whole lot of other activities going on around the holidays, or you can kind of just get that time aside. For me, it's actually been harder to get into the game because of where this is at, and I'll probably be able to play more once we hit January. Now, that's not to say I haven't logged a significant amount of hours, most of them quite late at night after I've finished with my day-to-day responsibilities, but it's kind of slowed me down a little bit having it this time of year. So in addition to that, trying to get everything set up with my guild and a lot of guild members needing assistance with various things and getting alts in place and all this other stuff. So there's been a lot of maintenance issues I've had to deal with as well that weren't necessarily just, you know, getting in and playing the game. So I imagine you've had to do a little to that too with Guild Umbra. So
Yes, that's what I was going to take it, because, I mean, our fans, there's a million other podcasts that are going to talk about every spec and every stat, and I definitely don't want to do that, because that's just not our thing. But let me ask you, your guild was around for a couple years before the game launched. Did you find that you had the organizational infrastructure and leadership and chain of command in place and were ready for the game, or did you find holes in things that you hadn't really even thought of?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we've been around in official capacity for like 2.5 years prior to the game launch. We've not been a mega guild, which one of our saving graces probably in not making this just totally chaotic. I mean, guilds that have, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 plus members, and having to do some of this, you know, I don't envy them that. Now, one thing that we did with my guild that probably was a disadvantage that some people might not have had if they used the guild that BioWare or used the server that BioWare assigned them, is we moved our guild to a different server, because we were following kind of the mega server decision from over at SWTORRP.com, which is another one of our community sites here at the Tor Syndicate, and they kind of, to try to keep more of the people in that community together, they set up and said, all right, everybody announce which server BioWare assigns you to, and then whichever server has the most guilds, that's where we'll move everybody to. And that was not, unfortunately, the server BioWare gave us. So we had to do everything from scratch as far as getting people in place, and that was a lot more work, and it would have been a little bit easier if everybody had just been able to click the magic button and, you know, put themselves in the guild. But other than that, yeah, we had to figure out kind of what our application process was going to look like in-game versus our pre-game process, which was much different because all we had at that point was just, you know, forum activity. And we had some different process we had to set up for that. We had a lot of people that couldn't get the name they wanted that they'd been using for 2.5 years on our forum, which was disappointing. And then they had to choose a new name, which threw me off because I constantly had to ask, you know, somebody would send a tell to me or something, and I would have to start with, okay, who is this? Because it'd be some name that I had never heard of. So that made it a little more challenging as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty decent infrastructure, but nothing could account for the rigmarole of, you know, we use Guild Launch, so we had the Guild Launch account names, and then we had people try to get the same names for the BioWare account name. So it's like, I know you by one name on Guild Launch, I know you by another name on the BioWare SWTOR site, which is the name of your account that's going to be in the game, right?
Right, right.
So trying to do that mapping, just like you just said, has proven challenging. My one gripe or observation, I should say, is that my server, and I don't know if this is a lot of servers, just seems to be really imbalanced in Imperial to Republic. So,
Do you have? Is it just
just a regular old PvE?
PvE?
Papa Victor Echo, just vanilla.
I'm on an RP PvE server, and I don't know that we're imbalanced, but if we swing one way, it's probably the other direction. We probably have more Republic than Imperial. So
then do you find yourself having hutball like 9 times out of 10 if you do PvP?
I'm not the guy to talk to that, because really, I have yet, this is horrible, I've been in the game 2 weeks, I've yet to do a single PvP event. I've done flashpoints and quests and missions and space combat and everything else, but I have not gotten into PvP. So that's just kind of based on stuff I got from other guild members who have been more active in PvP and stuff like that. So
that's cool. But for the most part, then all of your planning and everything you've done up to this point, because, you know, like I said, I consider you guys are an organized guild. You weren't just like 5 guys who kind of liked group and were like, we'll start our own guild. Have you found that it's working so far, though?
The dust is settling now. I think the first, the early access week was pretty chaotic. Going into immediate launch was a little more so, but the dust is starting to settle now. And in some part, I didn't care that it was chaotic. I wasn't really trying to push all my members too hard to get everything set up and all the details had to happen immediately. I would have loved that, but I wasn't really worried about it because I knew everybody got in the game. They just wanted to hit the game running. They're like, woohoo, the game, it's finally here. We've been waiting for 2 or 3 years. Let's play the game. And so, really, I kind of told all my guys, we're not going to worry about pretty much anything for the first couple weeks after the game launches. I mean, we'll do stuff as we're able to start setting things up, but I mean, we've not even put a big, and we're an RP guild. We've not even put a big focus on that in the first couple of weeks. We're just like, have fun, play the game, level up, and as we go, we'll get everything in place. And by the time we hit 2 or 3 weeks in, then I'll start worrying if we're not really, you know, where we want to be from an organizational standpoint. So,
so what guild activities have you done? Have you done any social? Because that's one thing I find is a problem. And I don't, and it's not like, you know, BioWare is derelict and they've done something bad. I'm just trying to say I don't see any social element in the game. I mean, obviously there's grouping, but there's no need to go back to like a cantina. There's no out of combat social kind of thing. So we've been doing things like, you know, speeder races, or we all go do like victory laps around Drummondcast City, or we've been creating our own. And, you know, to some degree, I think all MMO makers want that. So we're trying to develop that. Like tonight, one of the reasons I was kind of late getting in here is our guild member, we did a Datacron run. So we formed up on a fleet ship, and we started just going from planet to planet, like, you know, 30 people just in one big gaggle. And then if you were too low to have a ship, you know, we'd come down and you could get on somebody's ship and they'd fly there. Or, I mean, so it's kind of interesting. We, you know, we're doing our own thing. So, I mean, if you're like some level 5 on this Origin world, you see like 30 plus level 30s and 40s and a couple of 50s run by.
Just rolling across the terrain.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty hilarious, man. Like, and at first, we were riding around on our speeders, so we were like a biker gang, like Hell's Angels or something. But, you know, not everybody had speeders, so, because you got to be 25. So basically, we were just running. So, nice. So have you guys been doing any kind of like social things?
Kind of spot things. We've got one of my officers right now is putting together kind of our first organized activity like that. Other than that, we've kind of just been hooking up in spot activities, or as, you know, as time allows. So, and we find, you know, buddies online, and we say, hey, we're on the same planet, or you want to come over here and we'll run missions together, or we'll run this flashpoint or something like that. But that's been kind of, you know, almost kind of pickup group within our own guild, so to speak. So, yeah, we've got probably our first organized event hitting here in the next week or so. So,
that's cool. I think the only other big thing that we've been doing is I did not foresee us being a big PvP guild, but man, my guild is full of PvP people, and the big one, or one of the big ones in the elite crew, is on the podcast with us. So, Mr. PvP God, why don't you tell me what we have been doing?
Oh, we've been destroying some matches. It's really great when we end up getting in, because the random queue thing and the hup ball popping up quite often, it's entertaining when you see two groups of four in the guild queue up and we end up on opposite sides and we sit there and trash talk in the same TeamSpeak channel because we forgot to move to different channels. But that gets kind of exciting, and I've noticed that when we have people from the same guild, we end up kind of focus firing them, whether that's for good or bad. It just happens that way. But Creslin, the other day, I think it was, said someone came up to him and asked if we were recruiting and was kind of bummed that we're not right now. But he mentioned that, well, you guys are kind of destroying PvP, and I love PvP, so I'd love to get together with you guys.
So. Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say, something we haven't mentioned, I don't think I mentioned it, I can't remember you guys mentioned it. Have you actually said what server you're on? I mean, for everybody listening who's interested in...
Guild Umbra is on the Sith Meditation Sphere.
Okay. And,
or SMS, as I like to call it.
Or SMS. What?
SMS. SMS.
Oh, SNS. Mantel Syndicate, as well as a lot of other guilds from over there at SWTORRP.com, are playing right now on Lord Adras server, which is an RP PvE server. So it's got its own nickname that is already formed in the community, but it's more crude than yours. Basically, they shorten Lord Adras to Lardass. So nice. You want to play on that server. Basically, it's one of those, we'll make fun of it before somebody else does.
Yeah, there you go. Beat them to the punch.
That's right.
It couldn't be worse than Space Slug.
Space Slug. Yeah.
That's a server name.
Oh, who was it that got on that? That was the Utini Cast guys, right?
Them, or I think that, yeah, they're on Space. That's the name of their server, Space Slug. I would hate that. I would have to move the guild if we were on Space Slug. I'm sorry.
You know, yeah, guys, so we're going to go ahead and move.
For server name. So, for example, one of the roleplay servers was the Ebon Hawk. I would have loved to be on that server. But by the same token, probably that server is going to get slammed, and it already has a higher population load than ours does, so the queue times are longer. So in some ways, I guess it's good to be on a server name that's maybe the name's not as popular. So
true. So we've hit the high level. What are some of the things that you see that are issues? Just limit it to one, guys. What are some of the things that you see? What is the one singular thing that you see that's an issue? It might be a bug. It might be something that's broken. It might be a mechanic. What's one thing that you think that's an issue that needs to be addressed?
Okay, I got two, if I can put both of them out there. So,
all right.
The first one would be one that I've heard you whine and moan about for many, many podcasts, and I kind of laughed it off until I got in the game and had to deal with it myself and come up with ways to work around it, which is the lack of a guild bank. Now that we're in and I'm having to manage all that stuff and come up with mule alt characters and figure out how we're going to collect these, and then when we need to get them out and send them to places and who has access to what and all this thing, that just would be so much easier with a guild bank. That's one of the things. And that's not really, I guess, something that's wrong with the game as far as something they've made and it doesn't work right because it's just not in there. But I so hope they come out with that feature ASAP, because juggling it in other ways is a big pain in the butt.
Well, I'll just say, for a Sith Meditation Sphere, we have a guild bank installed. You can send everything to Vertec. I'll take a 10% banking fee and I'll take care of it for you.
That's right. Problem. I'm sure you will. We actually have a similar system over at my guild. So, number two for me would be a bug that I thought they were going to fix. They released a patch just today, I think, and I was hoping the fix would be in there, but it doesn't seem to have been, which is when you go in and if you custom toggle on or off some of your companion's abilities. For example, I'm playing the smuggler, and Corso Riggs has that scorpion, get over here, you know, the throwing the line out and yanking people in, which when you're playing a ranged DPS is kind of just the opposite of what you want him to do. So I'm constantly turning that off. But every time the companion leaves for like a crafting mission, or there's a cutscene, or he goes away to sell junk items, or you leave planet and load into another planet, it resets it. And so it's real easy to forget that you have to go back in every time and toggle those things off or toggle those settings off. So that would be another thing that irks me. Oh, and to share an irk from some of my guildmates who have multiple alts is, when you keybind stuff, it doesn't carry over from character to character. It's not part of your account, so to speak. It's unique to that individual character, and they hate having to reset all those for every single character they make.
So, I can see that.
You asked for one. I gave you three, so I'll stop.
What about you there, Vertec?
Well, outside of what he's mentioned, the one thing that I have, the only real annoyance to me is my Sith corruption. I made a little pretty boy agent operative. He's supposed to be a suave, cool character, but it's kind of hard to be cool and suave when you have like veins sticking out of your forehead and like dark patches around your eyes, like you've been shooting heroin through your eyelids or something.
Now, you can turn that off, though, right? It's like helmet. You can toggle it on and off.
You can turn it off, but then as soon as you zone anywhere, it pops right back on.
Oh, it doesn't stay off.
Yeah, it doesn't stay off. Now, I don't know if I'd heard mention a while ago, like towards the late end of the beta, that if you turn it off to begin with, it'll stay off. But as soon as you gain any corruption, it won't go away. But I obviously can't try that now because, well, I had it on to begin with.
Yep, and you wouldn't have known that trick then, so.
Yeah.
Well, I can see how that would be irritating.
Yeah, but to me, I mean, it's not a huge deal for me because I'm not a super large role player. But every now and again, in a cutscene, I go, "Aw."
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a role player to be, you know, have an interest in what your character looks like, especially with, like you just said, all the freaking cutscenes, all the close-ups that are part of this game, and not just for you, the player. They're close-ups that everybody's seeing. Like, if you're grouping with people and you're going through a flashpoint and you're hitting these little cutscenes in the flashpoint, you know, everybody's seeing that. So it's important. People want to look, you know, how they want to look. And
especially if you're a role player or a closet role player. I find I'm a closet role player because I'll make decisions based on how I think that, well, this is how he would do this. You know what I mean?
The cat.
As opposed to, yeah, as opposed to just sitting there going, screw it, I just want all dark side points or I want light side points or whatever.
Right.
So what else do you really see as an issue, or is that really just it? Or that's your big one?
That's the big one, really. I mean, like I said, there's not too much about the game that's really annoying me. I seem to be missing a lot of the bugs that other people are complaining about. I mean, there's the guild list where it'll randomly not show everybody on there, but that's a control you, and that's fixed. So you have a Band-Aid for that, at least. You can fix
control
that
you fixes that? See, I did not know that fix.
You got to hit it twice. So. Hold the control down and then hit U twice.
Yeah, that'll fix that up.
Because I'll have, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 people online, and it's showing me, like, 3 or 7 or something. You know, so
my issue is really just the guild management system, period, is... And I love Bioware. I'm a big Bioware fan. You know, they've been totally cool to me, flown me down there twice, treated me like a rock star. And I know a lot of these guys, but I'm... For the level of quality of the game, I'm just so disappointed in the guild management system in all aspects. I mean, to me, it's just a glorified chat. And I know that they had to really spend time on, you know, other bigger things like, you know, trying to balance classes and storylines and all that. But what I don't get is, it's next week it's going to be 2012. I mean, so we might as well just say it's 2012. I just don't understand how in 2012 we can't have a guild bank or guild management or guild taxes or just all these guild things. I mean, I'm just really, really, and I'm not going to say I'm hurt, I'm pissed, and this game sucks, because that's not the case. I just don't understand how that fell off.
Yeah, some of those features that have come to be accepted as just standard in other MMOs too. So
yeah, like swimming. I mean, really. I mean, it's just
guild
such
swimming.
Basic stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
Seriously.
No, I mean, and again, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be an idiot. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just trying to say, like, this is common basic stuff that I just don't understand. I don't get how that could not be in there, how you could not understand. And then, of course, the answer I get back from everyone at BioWare is, well, no other MMO had that at launch. I'm like, so is that
right? But
the
you can't
license?
Build something the way somebody else built it at launch 10 years ago or 5 years ago or something.
Yeah. I'm saying, okay. Well, no other MMO had fully acting voice in it either. I mean, come right. on. I mean, is that a license to not have it? You know.
At least with the swimming thing. I mean, I haven't bumped into a planet where it had enough water there that you should be swimming in it. That you couldn't just walk through it.
Which makes for some amusing quest things like Ord Mantell. There's this one scene where you have to go get a doctor from an island and he won't leave because he's got all these kids he's looking after. And at one point he says, you know, I can't leave because it's too far and these kids would never be able to swim that far or something. And you're like, dude, I waded over here to the island.
See, that one I didn't bump into.
It
that
was like knee deep.
Nice.
And
nice.
Then you got to run back to the Republic and, like, requisition boats for them and stuff. I'm like, dude, I walked your island. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to take it to that degree, but I'm just trying to say, like, I'm just really hoping that a patch comes in shortly that will give us guild banks, that will give us guild tax systems.
Tax systems
give us,
would be awesome.
Yeah, because... I mean,
especially since there's rumors floating around that down the road they're trying to come out with these, you know, guild halls, which may be capital ships or something like that.
They're working on guild capital ships.
Well, the rumor I've heard is basically start saving now because they're going to be ridiculously expensive, which is cool. There should be something that's a big deal that a guild can work towards. You know, I like that idea, but it would be a whole lot easier with something like a guild tax system, you know, just, you know, 10% of all my credits that I pick up off the ground shoot straight to my guild bank or something like that, you know, yeah. As opposed to having to have players mail them in manually to our bank mule.
You know, yeah, exactly, or our fleet of mules. And, you know, yeah. Again, I mean, they thought that guilds was so important that they would preload us. They thought it was so important that they would get a full-time guild community manager. They thought it was so important that, you know, they had to server load balance us. I'm just like, can you not create some stuff that we can actually manage? Because it's guilds that are the really big thing that keeps your player base consistent. So, I mean, yeah. I beat that horse to death. I've spoken to several people about it.
To wrap it up with a positive thing, one thing that I have liked about Guild, and not every game has done this, although it's become more common, and I certainly like it when I see it, is you don't have to use their out-of-the-box Guild ranking system. And for us, when we've had very creative titles for all our different levels and stuff like that, it's really cool to be able to just add a rank willy-nilly, whatever you want to call it, or edit an existing rank and rename it to anything you want, and set up your own rank hierarchy and structure. So I've not had that in every game I've been in, so I'm glad at least that bit is in there, and that's at least something positive I can say about their guilds at launch. So.
Now, I was curious with that, though. When you create a new rank, are you able to just shuffle it around and stuff it where you want to, or is it kind of stuck at the highest or lowest?
Nope, you can stick it at whatever level on the hierarchy you want, and you can shuffle existing ranks up and down, with the exception of guild leader. It stays at the top, where it should.
And if you're a guild leader, you don't want to, like, if you don't like your tune, do not just delete your tune,
because that's bad.
Then it'll take, like, 2 weeks to get a new guild leader. From what I understand, but that's what I did. I created all new guild ranks, divvied out the permissions, and then I just deleted the default ones minus the guild leader.
And they let you put notes on your members in your guild, which is nice. I just really wish they'd put that same note system on the friend system. Because, you know, I put so many people's alts on my friends list and stuff like that, but then they have so many, you know, I can never remember who, you know, or some guy you friended, you know, a week ago, and you don't remember anything about him. So, you know, even just, you know, a 255 character limit note section that lets you put, you know, ran Essel's Flashpoint with this guy 12/17/11, you know, or something.
I'd be okay with just a 20 character limit, just something where I can put, you know, a date and a place I ran. That way I'd remember, this guy was awesome because.
You know, exactly. So
name the one thing that you really like, and then we'll wrap the show. What's the one thing that you really like?
One thing I really like. I will say this, and I don't know if it's psychological, but the launch version seems to have run smoother than any beta I've ever played, including the beta that was right before the launch that was supposed to be the same as the launch. So I don't know if they did any last-minute tweaks or what happened, or just because the servers now are more spread out and the server I'm on happens to have a smaller load or whatever, but it seems to be running a lot smoother. I've gotten a lot less hiccups. I used to get kind of a stutter and a crackle even in the audio and as well as the video, and I rarely see that anymore, so... I do like that the game seems to be running more smoothly for whatever reason at this point, for me at least.
Yeah. Vertek, what about you?
Well, first I'd agree with what he said. Definitely smooth, really nice. I hadn't heard of one server crash. But aside from that, the PvP thing that people were kind of debating was good or bad with how long people live. I love the fact that it takes longer to kill somebody and or die yourself. There's no one-shot, two-shot. There's time to strategize. There's time to call for help.
There's time to run away.
To run you down. Yeah, exactly. If you have four people getting ready to run at you, you can say, hey, guys, help, 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 help. You can run around a corner real quick, and you might have backup before you die.
Yeah. Or at least someone to avenge you.
Yeah.
The thing that I really like about the game that I didn't think I was going to is just PvP in general. For very much the same reason, you can actually feel like you have a chance. Now, The thing that I also like is the fact that there's different types of PvP. You know, there's upball. I think it's a little bit too much in a rotation, but I like the fact that it rotates, so I'm not stuck doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'll leave that as a an open recruitment for the Republic side on Sith Meditation Sphere, by the way. Some really good PvP guilds. You guys should join them.
We need target practice.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it there. I know people want to get back to playing the game, and my dog's getting ready to chew through the door because he wants to go out. So I want to thank you guys for coming out. It is the Christmas holiday season. We have New Year's coming up. As of today, the game launched a week ago today. And you can reach us at toursyndicate.com. There you can also see Project Tour, which we'll be recording tomorrow night, which is basically the TV show that we do. It's a talk show about Tor. We do that with AWOL from TGN TV. And we also can be reached on Twitter at Tor Syndicate. I don't have a Facebook because I don't like Facebook right now. But maybe we'll get one if we grow.
Maybe a Google Plus down the road.
Shout out to Mr. Norton for the Google S3 Tour Hangout. And we're going to have to try to do something with him, or try to figure out how to do some kind of big scaled hangout sometime soon. But you guys want to plug your pages or your sites real quick?
Real quick, I think you guys already plugged yours. It's guildumber.com. Mm-hmm. And of course you can hit me up at mantelsyndicate.com if you're into role playing, or if you just want to swing by and jump on our online Sabacc game that we've got there running with high score chart and everything like that. So those of you who have heard Sabacc mentioned in the game and want to know how it actually plays, you can come get a taste for it over at our site.
All right.
And I really don't have my own separate site to plug, so I'll go ahead and plug something about Tor Syndicate right quick. So we've had a bunch of new members. Right now we're up to 255 people, by the way, or 255 member sites, by the way. 78 Republic and 95 Empire guilds. So that'll show you a little bit of the imbalance. One of the really crafty guilds.
It's quality, not quantity. Come on.
Yeah, true enough, true enough. Make them bigger, better, faster, stronger. You don't need as many, right?
Right.
But there's a really crafty Republic guild. They named their guild name Your Companion, which I think is kind of funny. So you'll see a bunch of people running around. But yeah, that's all I really got.
We'll have to do a segment here next podcast, we remember, on amusing guild names we've seen online. So.
Nice. All right, well, that's our show. Thank you so much for joining us, listening to us. Hopefully you're doing this while you're at work or somewhere other, because you could be playing Tor right now. So have a great one. Take care.
Night. Later, guys.
We'll see you next time.